Thank you for that special music. We're going to be reading in John's Gospel, chapter 10. Since I was here last, I was back up here in town visiting one day and got beat up. I was in a bad neighborhood and so we're at Brother McNeil's house. And I was loading some of this wood that Fran had laid down in his yard. And so some of these big blocks, and I was putting it up there, and Mr. McNeil was standing there saying, I don't see how you can pick those up like that. He says, I couldn't do that. And I got the feeling, you know how you do. So I up on the truck and I just put them up there, and you know, and I stepped down on one of those blocks that was doing this, and when I did, it did that, and I hit the ground. I had a hole in my head, and my wrist was wrenched, and every time I'd hit, that hurts. Well, anyway, I like my story though. It sure cost a lot to get it. John's Gospel, chapter 10. Now, I had to tell you that. People keep asking me what's wrong with my glasses, you see, so I had to tell you the story so you would know before, in case you were, if you were interested. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but cometh up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm sure the Lord will bless to our hearts the reading of his word. You see, the Lord is addressing a group of people, and notice in the opening verse it says, But I say unto you. He's addressing those that are in chapter 9, recorded in chapter 9, as those who seem not to believe. You see, right at the end of chapter 9, he would say to them in verse 41, If you were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. So the Lord is pointing out to these individuals who are there, denying who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and actually in the face of the situation where he has performed this great miracle of healing this blind man, giving sight to the blind man, and the evidence is unmistakable. It's irrefutable. And yet they seem to despise the Lord Jesus Christ, and they certainly are refusing the words which he is presenting, and they refusing him as person as well. And so consequently he sets up before them another picture of himself, and he does so in a very beautiful way. You notice he says, "I am the door." And he talks about the door. In the opening verse, he says that he that entereth not by the door. So he is using the word door in various ways. And first of all, it seems that he is speaking of a door. He talks about one that's entering the door into the sheepfold. Now, in the language of Scripture there, we see how that he's talking about a select group or a particular group of individuals. The sheepfold has to do with a particular location for a particular purpose. And so he is what he is alluding to here is the nation of Israel itself. Professing Israel, those who are professing to know God, and those who are professing to be associated with God here upon the earth. And so it is the door to the sheepfold that he is talking about here. And he says there are those who have come and have tried to enter in or have entered into the sheepfold before him. And by a different way, he says, he that cometh up some other way is the same as a thief and a robber. You see, the Lord, as he is saying here, that I am not the thief, I am not the robber, I am the one who has come and entered into the sheepfold by the door. In other words, I have made the proper approach in regards to my position before the people of God. You see, the Word of God had declared how Messiah was going to come. And the Word of God had declared that some of the characteristics that should be. And there was those who were anticipating the coming of Messiah. And you remember in John chapter 4, when the Lord is talking to the woman of Samaria, she would say to him, "When Messiah cometh, he shall tell us all things." You see, even the Samaritans who were related to the Jews, but they were intermarried with the Gentiles around, but nevertheless, they were anticipating the coming of Messiah. And they expected this one who was coming to be the deliverer. And of course they had anticipated this, and you remember on the morning of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, those two who were on the road to Emmaus, they were going along talking to one another, communing with one another, and they were sad, and the Lord Jesus joined himself with them. And you remember one of them, whenever the Lord asked them a question why they were so sad, one of them answered and began to talk about the Lord Jesus, about Messiah, and this one who had been crucified. And then they said, "When we had hoped that it had been he who should have delivered Israel." We had hoped that he would be our deliverer. So they were looking for a deliverer. There's no question about it. They were anticipating the coming of one who was going to be this Messiah. And so the Lord is saying that there is a door, there's a proper means whereby this one who is going to come must enter into the sheepfold. He came as the Word of God had said that he would. And he did not come as man would try to set him up. He was born of a virgin. The Word of God had declared that this would be so. And he was born in Bethlehem according to the word of God. And you remember he was also called out of Egypt. as the Word had declared he should be. And so he had come in the manner in which the prophets had spoken concerning his coming. And not only had he come, not only did he make his proper approach into the world, but we see that his ministry to those round about him as he is presenting himself to the nation of Israel, he is making a proper approach even in this situation, because we noted back in chapter 9, for example, how that he was healing the blind man, he healed the blind man. In various other places, he would heal various types of diseases under other circumstances. Remember back in chapter 6 of the Gospel of John, here was one who could take a little boy's lunch, and he was able to speak to God in relation to it, and then he would be able to break that bread and break that food and pass it to his disciples, and they would be able to feed thousands of people, over 5,000 men, plus the women and children. And so there were these things which the Lord Jesus Christ was doing. He was performing these miracles, and he was doing it in the sight of men so that men would be able to see and understand that this man truly was up from God. And so he has come, and he's coming by the door. He's coming into the sheepfold. He's coming into them among the people of God and making his presentation to them. He's not a thief. He did not come to steal. He came to bless. He's not a robber. He did not come to take from them or to oppress them. He came to bless. And so there were those who made illegal entrance, the thief who deceives and the robbers who plunder, but the shepherd enters by the door. Back in Luke chapter 11, you find the Lord Jesus speaking, I believe he is the one there, he's speaking of the ones who get, laying out something of the characteristics of those who come in as thieves and robbers and steal from the people. Yes, it's the Lord Jesus speaking in verse 52 of Luke chapter 11. Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. These were men, the lawyers that he's talking about here, are the men who were versed in the law of the Old Testament. These were the men who were versed in all of these things and which have to do with the keeping of the law from the Mosaic law. And he says to those who were versed in those particular things, he says, you have taken away the key of knowledge. You would think if there was anyone in the world who was capable of and willing to present the key of knowledge, it should have been the lawyers. They, of all people, should have been able to have unlocked the Word of God and to have seen and to shown men and women how the truth of God's Word and the mind of God. But he says concerning them, he says, you've taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering, you hindered. Wouldn't go in yourself, and you kept the others. You remember when you were a child, you read that story about back in the second grade. All of us have been in the second grade. Some of us can remember it. You remember that story about the fox in the manger, I believe is what it was called. Well, you didn't go to that school. They didn't have them good books at your school. The fox in the manger, I believe it was. And the fox in the manger, laying on the corn. The ox came to try to get some of the corn, and the fox couldn't eat it and wouldn't let the ox eat. That's exactly what the Lord is saying right here is taking place. They were just that way. They wouldn't enter in. They couldn't eat. They wouldn't partake. They could not. They were not interested in what God and the light of God and the knowledge of God. And not only this, but they wouldn't let anyone else partake. And what a horrible situation. When you have men and women in the world today desiring to know the mind of God, and where there are those who were completely just simply shutting them away and shutting them off and refusing to open up the Word of God and allow them to open up the Word of God so that they might know the truth and turn to God. There were those, you remember, in the life when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on the earth, time after time, there they were, who were just simply, they were trying to snuff out the light which the Lord Jesus Christ was presenting. And whenever he was there declaring himself and manifesting the fact that he was the light of the world and that he was the source of life in this world and that he was this door and that he is this one who is able to give life to men and women, they were doing all that they could to not only, they refused to believe it themselves and accept it for themselves, but they also dared anyone else to go into and be a partaker of it. You remember back in chapter 9, it said there that they knew that anybody that turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, they would kick them out of the synagogue. And so the people didn't want to go to have that kind of drastic action take place. But nevertheless, here the Lord Jesus Christ says that I have entered in by the door. And he says that he is the one that the porter openeth up to. The porter openeth to him in verse 3. Verse 2, he says, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, and to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. So he enters by the door, and he is the shepherd of the sheep, and the porter openeth to him, and this is a substantiation of the fact that he is the true shepherd, that he is the true Messiah. There were those who preceded the Lord Jesus Christ, and we find that there was this manifestation of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ himself has been proclaimed and set forth in unmistakable language as the one. The porter openeth. You see, he tells us, here he's using a word which is only used four times in the New Testament. It's used here, and it is used twice more in the Gospel of John. For example, look in chapter 18, you have the two uses of it. And what he's talking about, the way it is used here in chapter 18, has to do with the porter as able to admit or keep one out of. Notice in verse 16, Peter stood at the door without. Then went out the other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake to her that kept the door. That's the porter. It's the same Greek word that is translated porter in chapter 10. The one that kept the door. And this one who is keeping the door here is one who has the privilege and the authority to admit or deny admission. And so the idea here, the porter now, he is the one who opens the door and allows the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is received into this fold, and he is the one who is acknowledged in making the presentation. John the Baptist, you remember, declared concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God." You see, he pointed his disciples to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says that his disciples turned and followed Jesus. And so this is John the Baptist was the porter who was declaring that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And so here John the Baptist was acting as the porter at that particular time, and he was He was being welcomed as the Messiah. There were others that you remember Simeon, this man of God in the Gospel of Luke, where he's in the temple. And when the Lord, Joseph and Mary brings the Lord Jesus in there to do for him after the manner of purification, and you remember what they do, Simeon takes him up in his arms, and it says, and he blessed the Lord, and it says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, the light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. You see, he understood. He was opening and he was welcoming him. He was welcoming the Lord Jesus Christ as the true Messiah into the nation of Israel. And there are others that were instrumental in that as well. But nevertheless, we find that the porter is opening, and so the door is opening, and he has come in the proper manner. He is not one that has come in on his own authority. He is not one that has come in without proper identification and without proper qualifications. He is not that. He is authenticating his messiahship as he came and among his people. And so he is, but he tells us something about the sheep in verse 3. He tells us, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. You see, whose voice do we listen to? You know, the voices that we listen to is dependent upon or is a determining factor as to whose sheep we happen to be. Whose drumbeat do you march to, as someone would say? But whose voice do we listen to? Are we tuned to the voice of God? Are we listening to the mind of God? And do we seek to know the mind of God? And are we following the Lord Jesus Christ? So you see, this is that which is important, and this is what authenticates the fact that we belong to him, that we follow him. He would say later on, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. And may I say to you very respectfully this morning, there's not a single promise in that verse to the billy goats. It's only to the sheep. Those that hear the voice of the Son of God, not those that seek their own way and seek to be rebellious and seek to do all that is contrary to the mind of God. And so, the Lord Jesus says here, the sheep hear his voice. And not only this, he says he calleth them by name. Isn't that a marvelous thing? There's not a person in this room that is known personally by the President of the United States, I don't believe. I doubt there's a one of us could walk up to the White House this morning and be greeted by our first names. He doesn't know our names. And I don't feel badly because the President of the United States doesn't know my name. The Governor of the state doesn't know my name. He doesn't know me. Chances are my own representative doesn't know me. So what? Doesn't bother me in the least. I'm not even sure that the sheriff of the county knows my name. I doubt he even knows my name. Hope he never finds out. But you see, he knows my name. He knows my name. You see, that's more important to me. To know that the Lord, he calleth his sheep by name. Zacchaeus, come down. He knew him by name. Lazarus, come forth. On the morning of the resurrection, in the garden, Mary is there. She thinks he's the gardener until he calls her Mary. And she knew his voice. She knew, and he knew her by name. So the thing is, you see, the Lord knows us. He knows us individually. And he, well, not only this, but he tells us that he leadeth them out. You see, he goes into this religious circle. He goes into this social setting, perhaps, is what it had developed into by this time, of Judaism. And what he does, he goes in there and he finds his people that are there, and he leads them out of this religious system, because there was no life in Judaism. Not once do you find where, even in the law when it was given, that if a man obeyed the law, if a man kept every facet of the law, you don't find a single time where it ever once promised eternal life. This do and thou shalt live ye on the earth. And when you come to the New Testament, your Bible says what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. That was where the problem was. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. You see, the problem was with our hearts. So he leads us, he led them out of Judaism, and he leads man out of the religious world. And this is one of the most difficult things to get people to give up sometimes, is their religion. I remember whenever I first started studying the Scriptures and started studying the truth of the Word of God and seeing how what the Word of God had to say about the work of salvation and the Lord Jesus Christ and various things which are associated with the church. Whenever I began to read the Word of God, I had to give up. I had to give up a great deal of what I had learned beforehand. When you come to Hebrews chapter 13, you remember that beautiful verse there in chapter 13, verse 13, where it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ and his suffering for us, and he tells us what our responses ought to be in regards to him. It says to us there, in verse 12 it begins, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." Without the gate, outside the city of Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus Christ was not crucified in the city of Jerusalem. He suffered without the gate. He was rejected by, everything of the which the nation of Israel stood for, actually, except God himself. And so they crucified him across the river Kidron there, brook Kidron, up on the hill on the other side, apparently. But nevertheless, it tells us he suffered without the gate. Verse 13, "Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." And this is separation from that which the camp and the gate has to do with, this enclosure and this confinement of religion in the world in which we live today. So, the Lord Jesus Christ, it says he leadeth them out. He calleth them by name, and he leadeth them out, and leadeth you out to walk with him by faith. not always an easy walk, but he's always with you. And a whole lot better be walking with him than to be walking anywhere without him. So he goes in and he leads them out. He goes in by the door, and he is the shepherd of the sheep. Now in verse 7 it says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." I am the door. He's speaking of a different door now. He's speaking about himself as the means of exiting. He's speaking of himself as the means of being freed from all of the bondage which religion may heap upon a man or woman in the world in which we live. There are many who are bound by religious dogma or religious practices and religious history or whatever it happens to be, that they are bound by it and they have become actual prisoners of a religion. But nevertheless, the Lord Jesus Christ says he is the door of the sheep. He is the means whereby you may come out or one may be brought out. And he says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Kind of gives you an idea of some of the crazy things which happen in the world in which we live today, where you have a group of people who will commit suicide, anticipating and hoping to hook up to some UFO that's following that comet that was going through the air, or going through space up there, back a little earlier this year. And after it was all said and done, they had their clothes and all their stuff packed. When it was all finished, their clothes were still there. So they didn't take a thing with them. So the plans were foiled. It all fell through. Why? Because some thief or some robber had gotten to them and stole from them the truth of the privilege of being associated with God while they live here on this earth. And so the truth of the matter is, these who are there and those who are in those circumstances, he says here that everyone that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. They did not belong to God. These are not people that belong to God. And what a sad situation to end your life here and end up in hell, anticipating going to a better place. That's a horrible thing to contemplate. And so the Lord Jesus says he is the door of the sheep. In other words, he is the only means whereby a man can be freed from this kind of bondage and can be freed from this kind of oppression which may be brought upon an individual regardless to what kind of teaching it is that has brought it upon them in the past. But furthermore, you'll notice in verse 9, he says, I am the door, and here by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So now he's talking about a door to salvation. The door to salvation. How does one come into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? How does one come to a place where he knows that his sins are forgiven? The Lord Jesus Christ says, I'm the door. I am the means of access into salvation. I am the means of access into the presence of God. I am the only means whereby a person may be able to be brought into the presence of God and to know that their sins are forgiven. You see, my friends, if you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, You may be trying to find, or you may be trying to procure your salvation, or you may be trying to work for your salvation. You may be trying to earn it, or you may be trying to deserve it, or whatever else, other kind of verb you may want to put on it. But you remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ makes it expressly clear that it is He is the door, and it is by Me that if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The only way that a poor sinner can be saved in the world in which we live today is through the Lord Jesus Christ and no one else. There is no one else. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other way that you can be saved. You can't be saved by your efforts. You cannot be saved by your good works. You can't be saved by your good looks. You can't be saved by your good deeds or your good behavior. You can only be saved through the grace of the God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And your Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, when we come to God, we come with our hands absolutely empty. And we come to Him as spiritual, we come to Him destitute spiritually as well. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He's the means of entrance to salvation. He shall be saved, and he shall go in and out. This is freedom, freedom of access, and freedom to be associated with God, and go in and out. You see, we go in first and then in for worship and in for adoration, and then we go out for service for God. God then is able to allow us to go out, and as we go out, He goes with us, we're told as well. And we find pasture. This is nourishment. And what a tremendous privilege to be associated with the Lord Jesus Christ, where we can have this kind of access and this kind of sustenance in our lives. He tells us in verse 10 that the thief comes, but his purpose is not to give you nourishment, not to give you pasture, not to give you freedom. He can't even give you life. The thief comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. And anyone or anything who takes you away from the Lord Jesus Christ, causes you to deviate from Him, causes you to depreciate Him, he's the thief. And he's a robber. He would wound you. He would rob you. He would take from you that which can bring you joy and that which only is able to bring you joy, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But, he says, I am come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. There's nothing more precious to a man than life. There's nothing more precious to you than life. Of course there isn't. Somebody can hold a gun to your head and take all your gold off your hands and all that's in your pocket. If he doesn't have to expose himself, he can take you to the ATM machine, make you draw out some of the greenback and give it to him. Why? Because life is precious. and you would spend all the money you've got, especially if you're real young, in order to keep yourself alive in this world. Life is precious. And I'm not depreciating that in any way whatsoever. I'm just using that to illustrate this, that since life is so precious to us, if you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're cheating yourself, because he's wanting to give you eternal life. He wants you to live forever. He wants you to be able to live with him. He says, I am come that you might have life, and not only life, but more abundant life. Life that is better than just simply existing here in this world. There's a whole lot better things than just getting by. I want you to have the abundant life, living in the sight of God, with the blessings of God, with the knowledge of God, knowing that you have peace with God. Your Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all of him. It's all through him. He is the door. Now, if you're trying any other way, you'll never succeed. No provision. God has not made any other provision. He has not made any other provision, and he will not make any other provision for salvation other than through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he would say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I wonder if there's one in this room today who has never received him. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Are you willing to receive him today? Are you willing to trust him? This one who died for you on the cross of Calvary to completely settle the question of sin in regard God's regard for sin in this world, and so that he can offer salvation to men and women free of charge, no cost, without money, without price, without cost. And the Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. Let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Won't you come and trust him today? Let us pray. We thank thee, our Father and our God, for thy word. We praise thee for thy faithfulness to us, thankful for the gift of life that we can have through thy blessed Son. Should there be one here today, our God, who knows not thee, may it please thee to draw their hearts to thee in a very affectionate way. In the name of our blessed Savior, amen.